This netcast is brought to you by the 8 Days of Geek Network.
All your ears are belong to us.
Brandon and Jesse's 8 Bits is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download at www.audibletrial.com/8DAG.
Start.
I thought you were just doing it so then you can start the music in.
Oh, no. All right. Try this one more time.
All right. Remember, you do one, then I'll do one, and then you do one.
Okay. On this episode of Brennan and Jesse's 8 Bits, On Live is going to support Hoya.
We'll learn why Borderlands 2 might show us Ninetoes' 3 balls.
And Star Wars The Old Republic goes free to play and lets you get your lightsaber on for a little less money. Stay tuned.
Start.
Hello, guys, and welcome back to another episode of Brandon and Jesse's 8 Bits. I'm Jesse, your host, and joining me, as always, to my right side, Brandon.
What's up?
All right. Then, you know, there isn't an unbelievable amount of game news today, so we should be able to roll it into a little bitty nugget and slip it right in your earlobe pretty easily.
Oh, yeah.
I love earlobe nuggets. They're my favorite. All right, so first story. On Live, you remember, I don't remember how many episodes ago it was, I talked about On Live. It's a streaming video game service for pretty much, like, Mac, Windows, I think Linux might have a client, I'm not positive. It's also for Android and iOS. Do you remember the gist of that, Brandon? Or do I need to read?
I don't know. I usually fall asleep during a lot of what you say.
I figured that much. So you know what? Just for you and for the listeners who don't remember, I'll rehash. Basically, what OnLive does is it allows you to go in, and they have a list of games. Now, you pick your games. You can buy them singly. You can buy them in packs. You can pay a monthly subscription. They have all kinds of payment plans. But you'll subscribe to one of these plans or buy a game using your login credentials and one of their client programs on Mac, Windows, maybe Linux, iOS, and Android, you can actually log into their servers, start playing a game, and it can be the newest of the new games. You know, Batman, Arkham City was one of the first ones I tried out. You know, that's a very graphically intense game. What their servers do is they do all the heavy lifting, all the graphics processing, all the CPU processing. They take the video from the game and stream it to your device. Your device streams your key presses back to the server to where all you need to play games in the absolute highest settings on any computer, no matter how old it is a great internet connection. And it doesn't even have to be great. It can be, you know, a good internet connection and be pretty decent. So basically, it's kind of like Netflix for games, only the streaming version. Because Gamefly is Netflix for games. You see how that works?
Yeah. That's pretty neat.
Yeah, it's very cool. Especially, I mean, their prices are... they're on par with everything else. You're going to pay basically the retail price for a game on Live. So, and you're not going to get a disc or anything. But the kicker is that you will be able to play that game as long as On Live is in business on any device you own. Period. No matter how old your laptop gets, you will always be able to play the newest games because of the way OnLive does their service. So, OnLive plus Hoya, which I still haven't figured out how to pronounce it correctly, that is the Android-based gaming system that we talked about a couple episodes ago that had a Kickstarter project.
The Kickstarter, yeah.
Exactly. OnLive.
Since it's so much higher than what its Kickstarter originally was supposed to be, they should actually just hire Al Pacino to to do the commercials for it.
They probably should. That'd be pretty cool.
Like, play a game? Oh, yeah! There you go.
That would be awesome. So this is, it's an Android-based system, and we knew it was going to have the big games from Android, like Dead Trigger and all these really graphically intense games. OnLive has said that they will now support Ouya when it comes out. So Ouya just became the first console to have the largest game library at launch in pretty much the history of gaming. Because OnLive has so many games. And what's odd is that this came out of left field, because OnLive has their own TV box for their gaming console. So I'm not sure if maybe they're going to stop producing that and reduce their overhead, or if they're just going to, go ahead and take on the Ouya as their gaming console. Or, who knows? They haven't really gone incredibly into detail with all of this. But does this make Ouya pretty a lot more interesting to you, Brandon?
Well, I mean, I already thought Ouya was interesting because there's a lot of, in my opinion, if you're a game player like me and you really enjoy the old RPGs and stuff, there are so many old RPGs on just Android alone that are really neat and look like you can really enjoy them, but it's hard to play them on the phone for it's so small and you have to have your fingers on the screen, and there's reasons why the games lose a little bit of value. But on a screen, it would be so fun, and adding regular games to it. So then, there's a lot of people out there that hate mobile games. They just think it's stupid. And this is going to make all those haters go, it doesn't matter. You can play any game on this. Now, officially, we have the very first system ever that is going to have the Xbox and the PS3 exclusives on it, which makes this something that is legendary, honestly. Because, I mean, how many years have people said, oh, Xbox is better, you can play Halo, you can play Call of Duty, and then PS3 people are like, we got this and we got that, and they're always arguing over stupid stuff like that. Now, there's going to be someone out there going, I got the way I can play it all. And Wii games. So, I think it's huge. I think that and honestly, with what you were saying about how it's weird that they have their own set-top box that you don't understand why they would be doing this. First, the Ouya is getting publicity that OnLive probably could really use with the whole Kickstarter thing. Second, I mean, how big is that? How big is, by the way, we're going to jump onto the biggest system ever and this and that, and we're going to revolutionize things. Now, the thing I'm worried about is we haven't yet to see the lawsuits, which is going to be ridiculous in my opinion, because PS3 has exclusive games for a reason, as does Xbox, as does Nintendo. So we'll see what happens whenever the lawsuits come rolling in. If OnLive not only supports those, but starts to create an older game library, PS2, PS1, 64, even handheld games, if they start creating that where basically any game ever can be played on it, I don't see how the Ouya won't be something that is just the biggest system ever.
Very true. And it's, like I said, they have so many games. I mean, it's ridiculous how many games that OnLive has. I'm looking at it right now. They have 26 pages of games so they have well over a couple hundred games. I can't wait. This makes me want to get one so much more.
Hopefully they can iron out some details and manage to get exclusives, on them and get handheld games and get old games and just kind of set themselves up as the true gamer system, I mean, obviously its biggest anchor is going to be that you have to have a decent internet connection and you have to have unlimited internet, obviously.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Cause
I mean, it's going to run into issues. It's not like every single person on the planet can get this, but I'm interested to see what happens with it.
Yeah. And I mean, I think it's a step in the right direction because especially with PCs, so, you know, a lot of people would love to play PC games, but the problem is the cost of entry for a PC game has always been so high because of the computer you have to have. So now you don't have to worry about the computer. I dug out an old netbook at one point and put On Live on it and was playing Arkham City on full res on a netbook. So, I mean, it's possible, and it works really well. Our next story is about the Old Republic. Yeah, the Star Wars game that they still have not freaking put on the Mac OS. Not that I'm bitter. Aggravates the crap out of me. So, the Old Republic has been pretty much hemorrhaging users. At one point, I think they capped out at like 107 million or something like that. And now, they're, I think, just under a million. And, that's a pretty big hemorrhage. It's, I believe it's $15 a month, so it's on par with World of Warcraft. But, obviously, World of Warcraft has something they don't, because World of Warcraft's numbers are still through the roof. So, BioWare has decided to make Star Wars The Old Republic free to play. You can still have a subscription and have all that.
It's the crack. It's the crack method.
Yeah, it's exactly the crack. I mean, that's what in multiplayer, you know, online games like that, free to play is the crack method. It's exactly there is no actual free since the days of. I can't honestly think of one.
Diablo 2.
Okay, yeah, Diablo 2, I believe, was like that too. So yeah.
Yeah, it was free.
That was pretty much one of the last good truly free to play games.
Was that RuneQuest or RuneScape?
RuneScape. Maybe.
Yeah, that was free. Yeah, but yeah, anyway, yeah.
Ultimate
the crack
Online,
method,
I think,
for
might have been.
People who don't understand what we're talking about, is they give it to you for free until you really get into it, and then they drop the charges on you, and you just have to have it at this point, so it doesn't matter.
Exactly.
And I think they're doing a level cap on this one, too. Like, it's free to play to level 15 or 18 or something.
Well, right now, they'll allow you to play to 15 for free, but that's an just a little introductory offer. From now, when this actually goes through, you will be able to play up to 8 character classes and play them up to a level of 50, which is that's pretty good. I mean, that's not bad at all for free. The software, they're going to take it down, I believe, from the $60 price tag it's at right now to a $15 price tag, and that includes 1 month of premium subscription. Then you go to the free-to-play subscription. The $15 a month subscription will give you all kinds of stuff. So if you want all the extra stuff, you can pay the monthly subscription. You can also buy it a la carte and buy little pieces of what you get extra. So, you know, like Brandon said, it's the crack method. They get you hooked on level 50, and once you hit that ceiling, you're like, I gotta have more. You know, so then you're willing to pay. I don't know. I mean, if they come out with a Mac client, I'll try it, for God's sakes, but they haven't come out with a Mac client yet. I'm not booting into Windows for just one game. Screw you guys.
It is awkward that they're doing it like that.
Yeah. So this is supposed to happen later this year. And, you know. Hey, I'll give it a shot. I got a Windows computer sitting around somewhere. All right, next story. Borderlands 2 is going to be launching pretty soon. Now, one thing that happened in the first Borderlands game is they actually had to cut out a reasonable amount of stuff because the game was so graphic and gory. So to get under, you know, all the ratings, you have to cut pieces out of your game. That's no fun. No one likes that. Some people are mature enough to actually handle these things. You know, I mean, America is not full of immature jackasses who don't understand that someone's head blowing up on screen is completely different than anything else, you know? So they have decided, Gearbox has decided to put a gore filter on the new Borderlands 2. The gore filter lets you turn...
Very, very similar to back in the day, if people remember, when video games really got to the point where violence was the huge thing. I mean, back when Contra was out, you were shooting other soldiers and stuff, and I don't remember there being outcry whatsoever, but I do remember Mortal Kombat And the fact that when you hit them, that blood splurted out, and it was like, oh my God, there's blood. But then Mortal Kombat 2 came out, and you could turn the blood off.
Exactly.
And it didn't have blood. So it was just a blood filter back then. But it's the same concept, the keeping the kids safe. You know, you can't have them. What's the game? Brutal Legend has a gore filter and a cursing filter. So, I mean.
Man, we protect our kids so much. You know,
yeah.
My theory on the whole situation is if your kid is not old enough to understand gore and language, he shouldn't be playing the game.
Oh, yeah. You know what?
How hard
also,
is that?
Let me tell you something about kids.
God.
I don't care how much you think they are not cursing.
Oh, man.
Children are the most foul-mouthed little
are.
Bastards ever.
They are. They,
all
and they're
they
getting
do
so much
is
worse.
Cuss.
Yeah.
They just learn curse words, and they are just using them. It doesn't even make sense. They're like, hey, you dick fuck. And it's like, what are you talking about? It doesn't even make sense. Trust me. I know a bunch of kids. I owned a comic shop. They're the most foul-mouthed thing you'll ever see in your life.
Yeah.
Especially if you get a group of like three or more boys together. Oh, my God.
Man. Yeah.
All you hear is, pussy fuck dick ass. Oh, yeah? Shit fuck cunt bitch. It's like, oh my God, you guys aren't even making sense anymore. You're just stringing curse words together.
That's awesome.
So, by the way, this podcast will not have a all ages tag on it. Sure.
You know what? Ever since I told you that I wasn't going to bleep you anymore, I pretty much just said that all the podcasts are explicit.
I think I've done pretty good at controlling myself. Not today. So anyway, this podcast needs a gore filter because, oh dear God, what if we put curse words in our children's ears? Then they'll never believe in God. I don't even know what the hell their process is with that. I don't know. But anyway, yeah, stupid, whatever. Borderlands, such a fun game. I'll talk about that later. Borderlands 2, going to be even more violent, which is, you know, whatever. Sometimes violence is fun, sometimes it's not. Language is fun sometimes it's not. It all depends on how they do it. I thought Borderlands 1 was fine with the amount of violence and gore it did have. I did think that at some points it was kind of weird. Like, some things looked like there were supposed to be more violence, but it didn't happen. But, I mean, a guy got drawn and quartered in there. On one of the gates, there's a bunch of people hanging. I mean, it was pretty violent to start with, so.
Yeah.
Let's see how they up the ante, huh?
True.
And pass it to you for the next story.
Oh, you're such a nice guy. You're so proper.
Yeah.
Passing things. Okay, well, before we get into our next story, we have a real quick word from our sponsor. Yeah, that's right. We got sponsors now. Booyah. Our sponsor is Audible.com. Audible is a great place to go for audiobooks. Any audiobook needs you might have. They keep them in the cloud for you, so you can always go back and download them again and again and again if you decide to lose them. You can download them to iPhone, Android. You know, pretty much any MP3 player will play them for the most part. If you got your MP3 player on a street corner in China, I can't vouch for that, but it gets pretty darn close. So, basically,
if it says it's a Sobe, you know, I don't know if it's going to work.
Exactly. So, through our link that we're about to give you, Audible is giving us, and by the way, you cannot get this on the Audible site, so don't go looking for it. It's not there. You get a 30-day free trial to try out their service. Audible is monthly. Their basic plan, the gold plan, starts out at $15 a month. That's one book per month that you'll be able to download for your subscription fee. So they're giving you a 30-day free trial and one credit. That credit can be used to buy any audiobook on their store that is one credit in price. I have a library of literally 50 or 60 books. I have never bought one that's over one credit. I've never found one that's over one credit yet. So, like I said, they're part of Amazon. If you use Amazon, your payment information is already in there. Go to audible.com and check it out. Our link is audibletrial.com/8DAG. And that will give you your 30-day free trial, your one credit. You go in, download a book, try it out. If you decide you don't like it, you can cancel your subscription very easily, all on the website. They don't hassle you about it. And you'll be able to keep the book. So that book is on us. You go ahead and you download it. You enjoy it for as long as you want. If you are an Audible member, all the a la carte books that you get, things that are off of your subscription, are 25% off. So even if you cancel your subscription and keep that book, you can get more books down the road and maybe get a little percentage off. You never know. And who knows? You might want to start your subscription up after a while. So we're gonna try to suggest an audiobook every episode that you guys might enjoy. This first suggestion is one from my library. It's a relatively short book. I try not to get books that are gigantic a lot of times. This one is about 5.5 hours. It's called Extra Lives, Why Video Games Matter by Tom Bissell. He talks about, he's a great big game player. He talks about why video games influence our lives and, you know, how they do things. And it's a really good book, a really great listen. You know, 5.5 hours isn't going to take a lot out of your day. So here's a real quick sample for those of you who have never listened to an audiobook, so you know what an audiobook would sound like.
Criticism, however, this book is somewhat eccentric and, at times, starkly personal. Moreover, its focus falls heavily upon console games, as opposed to personal computer games, released in the last few years, most of which are amply budgeted story or narrative games, which may displease some readers.
So it's pretty good. He's a really easy listen to, and that's actually Tom Bissell who's narrating the book. So again, that URL is audibletrial.com/8DAG. There's a link at the bottom of our show notes to it if you'd like to go there and use that instead, so you don't have to, you know, worry your fingers with typing. And we thank Audible for sponsoring the podcast. All right, our next story. This one, actually, I put this in here for me because I was a huge player of this game back in the day. There was a game called Stalker, and it's an acronym. And for the love of all that's holy, I can't remember what the acronym actually is because it's huge.
Well, no, because it's the longest acronym ever.
Exactly. So Stalker was put out by a company called GSC Game World, and it was a Russian company. The game was, most of the time, you'd get the game and it was in Russian, and you'd have to download the English packs to install it. It was kind of janky. But it was one of the best open-world games I have ever played in my life. I mean, it was, you basically were a person in Chernobyl who was basically going around and getting, you know, scavenging for things, taking missions. You know, it was kind of like an extreme survival version of Fallout. And, you know, only in Chernobyl instead of in the future. So, it's very cool, very good game. Bethesda, rumors have started flying all of a sudden. They started a while back and they calmed down and no one heard about it. But Bethesda, it's been rumored, is going to buy the rights to the Stalker games. Now, if Bethesda were to buy these, they could come out with any games that they wanted with the Stalker name and franchise and characters and everything like that. It would be fantastic. It is right up Bethesda's alley. I mean, if you put the gameplay mechanic of Elder Scrolls into the world of Stalker, it'd be unbelievable. And I'm hoping this happens. But as I said, this is just rumors and scuttlebutt at the moment. But for all you Stalker fans out there,
I used to be an adventurer like you until I took some radiation to the knee.
Yeah, I hope they don't put that in.
Oh, what's happened? Somebody stole your sweet radiation roll?
Actually, I think they have potted meat. No, it's canned meat.
Yeah.
Somebody
Let
stole
me guess.
Your canned meat?
Someone stole your potted meat.
Yeah, and the great thing is everybody in Stalker had Russian accents, too.
So it was pretty, yeah, they're Russian.
It was so awesome. You know? What are you doing there? Good stuff. Okay. Let's see here. Last story on our docket, Far Cry 3. Brandon, did you ever play any of the Far Cry games? They're not really up your alley, I don't think.
They are not up my alley. I played, the second one.
Second one, okay.
And then there was that terrible movie made. And then I never played another one again. It's just not my kind of game. It wasn't a bad game, it's just not my kind of game.
Gotcha. Well, Far Cry has evolved a lot from the first games. I played every single Far Cry game that came out because I enjoy the way they do it. Far Cry's main selling point is the fact that they give you an objective and then you decide how to go about it. It's a giant open world and you can attack the objective in any way you want. So Far Cry 3 will have a co-op mode, and they finally started to release some of the information about this co-op mode. It's a four-player co-op. There are very specific missions that are geared towards co-op, like protection missions, search and destroy, destruction, you know, things like that. They didn't actually name any game titles, but I mean that's basically what they are. You got to, for instance, plant explosives on a bridge before your entire team gets wiped out. So destruction, you know, search and destroy. You got to go find a guy and kill him before everyone gets on top of you. So it's looking very good. The graphics are unbelievable. There's a gameplay video on CinemaBlend.com's game section. You should go there and check it out. The link is in the show notes. And they kind of walk you through, you know, what you're going to be looking at for your Far Cry 3 co-op. I'm really excited about this game. It releases in Europe on the 29th and December. Europe on November 29th and December 4th in America. Actually, it's a pretty big difference there. Usually it's a day or so, but that's pretty big. Anyway, that's our last story. Brandon, do you want to talk about those special things we always talk about, like the games we're playing?
Oh yeah. I actually am, ironically enough, since we just mentioned the game on the podcast, I'm actually replaying Borderlands 2. I have the Game of the Year edition, and I'm one of those really slow gamers. I mean, obviously, if you've listened to the podcast, I haven't played a game that's come out in the last 3 years ever. I think Skyrim was the newest game I played in a long time, and I'm replaying it with our own Tom Kimes. You might remember him from the Ask Tom Kimes segment we used to do. He's one of our writers, and we've been replaying it. I started over as the soldier, the Roland, and then he is Mordecai the Hunter. And we're having a lot of fun with it. And that game is fun. I hate shooting games, first of all. But that game has that extra, like, that extra element that really makes me want to play it. That, Left 4 Dead, you know, some games have that element where shooting isn't boring. Sorry, Call of Duty fans. Those games are just boring.
They kind
of. And, you know, so I'm enjoying it. The game is so much more fun with a friend just because the stuff you do to each other is hilarious. Teamwork is so good in that game. Especially, like, the hunter is a sniper, you know, and he's not very – that game is next to impossible to play with a sniper, one player.
It does, I mean, get my pretty God, tough because that's what I do. I snipe a lot.
The skags run at you, though, as soon as you start sniping. So, I mean, you got to be quick. You got to run away. But with the soldier there as well, like the two-player mode, I'm there. I drop the turret. I go up front lines. I keep him distracted while he stands back and pops him. I mean, it's so fun. Just, and, you know, you find new elements. One complaint I have for the game, the split screen is left-right, which is just stupid.
Yeah, I hate
that. It should be top-bottom. I don't know why it's left-right. Top-bottom is so much better. And if someone knows, like, if I'm an idiot and there's an option to change that and I don't know it, please, by all means, call the number and let us know.
I don't think there is. I think I checked for that, too. But please prove us
wrong. We had some calls this week, but I know that none of them were quite video game related. So we're probably not going to have any this episode. Jesse?
Not that I'm aware of. The phone calls we got weren't really video game phone calls.
Okay, that's not a problem. Sorry, video game guys. You gotta get on that call. You gotta get on the call, and we'll come. We'll tell you that number later. You can call and talk to us. Jesse, what are you playing? One of the games you're playing is a game I tried. I just was terrible at it. So, what are you playing?
I am playing, first of all, The Walking Dead for iOS on my iPad. It's basically a kind of a choose your own adventure, which makes it perfect for the iPad because you don't have to worry about all kinds of weird controls and stuff like that. It's very good so far. It tells a very good story. You put headphones in or you connect your Bluetooth headset, and it's very ominous. The surround sound is pretty darn convincing. It's good to play in a dark room. I haven't gotten a whole lot through the story, otherwise I'd give you more, but it's only one episode at the moment. They have several other episodes in the works, and they're going to be releasing them. The you know, go check it out, download.
I love this format when they do that. The Back to the Future games, remember those?
Yeah, I played those.
They came out.
Yeah.
The Penny Arcade ones did mm-hmm. that. Even Watchmen, actually, it was only like two episodes, but I mean, those were just immensely fun. I really love that format because it gets you playing and you feel like you've accomplished something when you win, and then you'll replay that episode and make sure you did 100%, and then when the next episode comes out, you're just ready. You just want to play it so bad. So
exactly. And
it's a cool little format that people do now.
Yeah, and The Walking Dead actually changes, like most of those games, it changes the outcome of the game every decision you make. Each decision has consequences. And I love games that do that. That's fantastic. The other game I've been playing, of course, has been taking up a lot of my time lately. I don't know why I've all of a sudden started hitting this game so hard, but that's World of Warcraft. Yeah. Can't help.
What are you?
I am a Night Elf Rogue.
See, when I played, I was a Tauren Druid.
Gotcha. You should play more. And for those of you who are listening and who are interested, I'm a Night Elf Rogue. My name is Shindo. It's Scindo. And I'm on the Thunderlord server in North America. If you want to look me up and, you know, whisper at me.
Whisper at you. Nice.
Well, that's what's called when two players chat directly is whisper.
Yeah.
I'm using lingo,
Brandon. I played
Brandon.
World of Warcraft for a while, but I just hate – I hate online players. That's my problem. I don't hate all of you. There's so many cool people out there. You know who I hate. Everyone hates them.
Well, yeah.
And they know what I'm talking about. Those people, you know?
Yeah.
The people who – I used to play City of Heroes, right? And then you'd make your hero, and you'd put a lot of effort into this guy, and you'd have this just amazing character, and you'd give him a cool name. I made a character who was kind of like Juggernaut. He had super speed, super strength. That was his character set. His name is Johnny Warpath. He's, you know, this big guy. He wore chains. He's Native American. He had tattoos. He had an eye patch, scars, and all that. I mean, I really set him up to look really good and match what his persona was, and he was one of the City of Villains characters. I mean, I spent a lot of time on this character, and I'm out there playing, and I'm only trying to do stuff that this character would do, and I'm playing along, doing fine, and it's working really well, and I'm like, okay, this is cool. You know, I really get the story of this character. Then all of a sudden, the guy comes down. He's level 4,000, and he's wearing just a yellow thong and a big pink elephant ears, and he's got clown shoes on, and his name is, you know, 47555 penis L2. That's his name. And he's dominating the game, and he just runs around and does everything in the game and doesn't even care. Those people drive me nuts. They don't care. They're only playing to play. They don't care. They're playing just so they can show you that they're better than you. And then it's like, you're not enjoying this game because you're not playing the themes along. And World of Warcraft is just as bad. There's people that do it, you know?
Well,
it's like that South Park episode.
But
they summed it up so well.
I was just about to say,
so
then
we
get the Sword of a Thousand Truths and take them out.
Yeah, and I mean, that South Park episode summed it up so much. All those guys are just big, fat dudes sitting in their mom's basement, covered in, you know, gravy. And they're sitting there, and they're playing as a naked guy with just one knife, but they're still so much higher than everyone else. So,
well, that is why I tell everybody who ever talks to me about World of Warcraft who's just starting, find yourself a respectable and helpful guild and get into one, because if somebody tries to camp you and tries to kill you and just keep killing you just for the fun of it, you call the guild on them and say, hey, anybody who's free, I got a guy at this place who's camping me. Get him, and you'll have three or four or five people all of a sudden just portal into an area and just beat down on somebody. So it's pretty handy. I'm actually in between guilds right now. I'm trying to start up my own guild. So when that happens, maybe I'll advertise the guild on here, and you guys can join it.
Maybe get a little bit of Roscoe Jenkins,
Leroy Jenkins.
I said Roscoe. Oh yeah, sorry.
It's Leroy.
There's a guy that comes into my work now. There's a guy that comes into my work named Roscoe Jenkins, and every time I talk
That's
to
awesome.
Him, I think of that. That's why I got it confused.
That's a cool name.
Because he's like, oh, there's Roscoe Jenkins. I'm like, your name is Roscoe Jenkins. There's no way. I always get it confused because every time I see him, I think of Leroy Jenkins.
Yeah. Leroy Jenkins. I love it. Okay, guys. Brandon, you want to tell the people where they can find, follow, and or stalk you?
Well, you can always find me on 8daysgeek.com. I do a couple things there. Not too much anymore because I basically just talk to everybody and all the writers. And if you are interested in writing about video games or anything else, you know, contact me at Brandon@8daysgeek.com. I'm pretty quick getting back to my email. So, and if you wanted to follow me on Twitter, you can at Brando Supreme. I'm very, 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 very talkative on Twitter. I do a lot on there. And you, if you respond to me and say something, I almost always try to get back to you. I try not to, you know, ignore everybody. And, of course, if you want to find me anywhere else, Facebook, Tumblr, Instagram, all that crap, you know, all over the web, go to about.me/Brandon C. Williams, and all of it's there. And, of course, you can get a hold of either of us at a special little phone number. And we want messages because we're going to have some messages from some other stuff, but we want some messages from video games. I don't care what it's about. You know, if you get the book and you like it, call us and tell us. If you hated the book, call us and tell us. If you think Jesse is playing too much World of Warcraft, tell us. If you just want to say – you want to make fun of me for saying Roscoe Jenkins instead of Leroy Jenkins, I don't care. Go ahead. And that number is 754-273-6397.
Holy crap, Brandon's getting official up in here.
That number, one more time, 754-273-6397.
I don't know how many times you've actually done that number. That's a good job. That's a good job.
I do it on every other podcast I do.
That's
so.
True, yeah. True. I've actually memorized that number now. I finally memorized it.
I just put my card down. I don't know it.
Oh, see, I've got.
Well, where can they find you, Mr. Miller?
If you want to find me on Twitter, I'm at Pen of Doom. If you want to email me, it's jesse@8daysgeek.com. Anything else you want to know about me, you go to about.me/Jesse Miller, and it will all be there. It's much easier to get to.
I have the phone number up on mine.
Wow. I don't know if I don't think I do. I think I need to do
you
that.
You should.
Yeah, I'll put it on there today, maybe. Okay, guys, join us next month for another episode of Brandon and Jesse's 8-Bits, where we'll bring you the gaming news and, hey, another book that you can listen to. Yay!
Mega Man!
All right, we'll talk to you next month, guys. Brandon, say goodbye.
Yeah, good. Dang it.
Start.